This is Morning Edition on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Rick Ganley. I'm now joined by NHPR's Josh Rogers for The Political Front. So look at what's going on in state politics. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
So, Josh, Governor Maggie Hassan is in the spotlight this week. She's going to present her state budget. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's talk about how she handled the weekend snowstorm.
Well, you know, Rick, she seemed to do fine. That is less of a challenge when a storm doesn't cause major power outages, damage, or loss of life. But for any governor, and particularly for one who cast herself as the second coming of John Lynch, first weather emergency is a test. And Governor Hassan got out there and sent a reasonable message by urging people to be prudent, but not ordering them off the roads under the threat of possible imprisonment, as Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick did.
Right.
But, you know, in New Hampshire, this storm was basically a lot of snow and not much more.
Yeah, she did declare a state of emergency at one point, didn't she, on Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah. So you expect the budget to be more of a test, I imagine, for the governor.
Oh, certainly, and a test that's going to be ongoing. If you take Hassan's advisors at their word, their budget proposal is still being tweaked right now. One big thing people are waiting to see is will Governor Hassan's plan envision more gambling, the one highly regulated casino she favors? Another is how many taxes, if any, Hassan is going to recommend raising beyond the tobacco tax. Remember, Hassan told agencies to hand in draft budgets at 97% of current spending. My sense from talking to Hassan's people is that 97% number was really a starting point. Most departments will get a bit more, but money's looking quite tight. Doing big things is going to be a challenge. It'll be interesting to see how Hassan addresses Medicaid and its possible expansion, and also how she proposes getting us to July 1 with tax collections under the current budget coming in under target and lawsuits pending the states in deficit right now.
Now, speaking of deficits, before we go, I want to chat for a moment about a story WMUR-TV broke last week about 2nd District Congresswoman Annie Custer's pattern of being late in paying her local property taxes. What was that story about?
Well, for the last several years, Annie Custer's been late on the taxes on her primary residence in Hopkinton and also on a second home in Jackson. She owed about $11,000 at the time of the MUR story. When that story broke last week, Custer quickly paid up, including penalties, and she did apologize, but she's yet to offer any explanation.
We're not talking about someone who's of modest means here.
Well, based on Custer's own financial disclosure form, she could be worth several million dollars. She also comes from a fairly prominent family in New Hampshire, which adds another layer to this. But given that so far Custer hasn't explained, she has simply apologized and said it won't happen again, we don't really know what the deal is. Cash flow problems would be the most plausible explanation. Custer did put her career as a lawyer lobbyist on hold when she first ran for Congress 4 years ago, so she essentially hasn't had a regular salary, but it's also just so pretty weird that this delinquency went unnoticed. Nobody, it seems, ever checked out this very public information during either of her campaigns. The media, present company included, didn't. Custer's opponents, Katrina Sweat and Charlie Bass, didn't. The Republican Party, probably even her own campaign didn't, which presumably would have told her to pay up pronto. But again, since Custer hasn't explained, it's hard to know what's really going on.
Yeah, is this going to haunt her?
Well, it's certainly going to come up. It's also true if a candidate has to face a story like this, facing one a month after being sworn in, is as good a time as any to do so. Custer's also a bit lucky in that the newly elected Republican Party chair, Jennifer Horne, also has her own tax issues, a federal tax lien on her house in Nashua. But that being said, this isn't good for Custer. And one measure of that is you don't see Democrats actually defending her. Instead, they're attacking Republicans who have faced tax issues. Sooner or later, she's going to have to say more than I'm sorry, and we'll see how that goes over.
Okay. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Rick.
That's NHPR's Josh Rogers. He joins me each Monday on The Political Front. It's a look at New Hampshire politics.